So the conclusion of all of this is that Dor Kazeh lo yuchal loshuv miyira. Like five lines down. On page 26. Dor Kazeh, a generation like this that Rav Kook has been describing, a generation like this, lo yuchal loshuv miyira. Lo yuchal loshuv miyira. Generation like this cannot return to Hashem by way of fear, by way of yira, fear. Avomoid mukshahu loshuv me'ahava. But it is very, very ready and prepared to return to Hashem me'ahava. Sheyiras haromus tischaber ima. Rav Kook, of course, makes it clear that he's not in any way implying that Chas v'Chalila, that Yiras Hashem, is not part of the program of returning to Hashem. And there's no question, and we'll see that Yiras, even Yiras Achait, Yiras Ha'inish, is something very, very basic. Just, this is not the way of this generation. This generation cannot do tshuva in such a way, coming through Yira. But through Ahava, the generation can be brought to a madrega of higher, the higher and ideal type of Yira, which is of course called Yira Seraimimus. As the beginning is of this, the beginning of this generation is through Ahava. It's Loshuv Me Ahava. And Yiras HaRomimus Tischar B'Ima. And Yiras HaRomimus becomes connected to the Ahava. And through the Ahava, the generation is lifted to a place of Yiras HaRomimus. There's a little note right next on the left side. Loshu Meyira, Loshu Me'ahava. Baruch HaTshuva, we learned, Mevoy HaRav, in the Arisa Tshuva, Rav Kook explains that Tshuva Meyira is when a person is almost forced. It's a terrible way to say it, but almost bullied and intimidated into doing Tshuva. Not to say Chas v'Shalom bully, but the person is almost, he's Nidcha Fileh Ketotsam Yisurim because of his suffering. Yisuri Haguf, either physical suffering, Yisuri Maspun, his conscience is tormenting him, Opachat Onesh, or fear of punishment. All of that is what motivates a person to do tshuva when those motivations are coming from that darker, fearful part of a person, that's tshuva meyira. And Luma Zais, on the other hand, tshuva me'ahava, he a tshuva hasichlis. Rav Kook speaks about it at the very beginning of Arisa Tshuva. Tshuva Sichlis. Of the Seichel. That's the most basic type of Tshuva Me'ahava. Sha'odam Nimshech Elei Mitoch Hashkafas Olam Tzlulu Uburi. Begins to think clearly about what's important, about meaning in life and so on. And he does Tshuva through the conclusions that he reaches with his Seichel. Achrei Shehifnim B'sochvas Kol Hadchof Me'ativim. As he integrates within himself all of his natural desire to grow and to become a great person. So that's Tshuva Me'ahava. That's a basic level of Tshuva Me'ahava. Now what's the Yiras HaRomimus? So Rav Kook is saying again, Rav Kook says that this generation cannot be brought to do Tshuva through beginning with Yira, with fear. It must begin with Ahava. And through Ahava to come to Yiras HaRomimus. Yiras HaRomimus HaRamchal, the note on the side of the page there, 26. Yiras HaRomimus HaRamchal b'misil sham mavchen ben yira p'chusa she'en ru'i l'chacham. The Ramchal discusses the lower level of yira, which is not, he says, is not any ru'i l'chachamim, that a person is already more mature, more of a chacham. Doesn't mean you have to be here a talmud chacham, but it's any ru'i l'chachamim to yira, that level of yira, v'hi yira sa'onish, which is fear of punishment. He makes a distinction between fear of punishment. Again, everybody has to have, but when everything else fails, there always has to be that basic yiras einish, at the end of the day, if nothing else is working, he always has to, a Jew always has to have yiras einish, that I can't do this because I'm going to get in trouble. There always has to be that basic yiras einish. But the Ramchal explains that that's not a derech and avoda for mature, intelligent people. That's not a way of avoda. And he makes a distinction between yiras einish, leven hayira hamushlemes yoser, a higher and more perfect type of yira. She yiras haramus. Everybody here has learned this many, many times. That's called yiras haramus because of Hashem's exaltedness, Hashem's greatness. Uba lo pachad onish martias adam milavra aveir. The main thing that motivates a person to stay away from aveiris is not, but to serve Hashem is not. It's not the fear of punishment. And etzem haramus is brought because of the greatness of Hashem and his love for Hashem. Same with a person in his relationship with his parents, if that which takes up his life is and causes him to be disciplined in his family is because he's afraid he's going to get beaten by his parents. He's afraid he's going to get punished by his parents, so he behaves. You understand how that's a very inferior level of yira when it comes to ish imo va'aviv tiro, of having a fulfilling image of yira when it comes to parents, but rather when a child recognizes the greatness of his parents and he recognizes his parents' love and he feels their love and therefore he doesn't want to disappoint them, doesn't want to do the wrong thing because of the yira sarumas that he has for his parents. V'nizoyis ha'yira, the Ramchal writes, "V'nizoyis ha'yira ena kol kach kala lahasigal." So this type of yira, yira sarumas, is not so easy to achieve this. Ki lo tivolid ele mitoch yediyah v'haskar lezbein al ramus yisbrach. It only comes when a person thinks deeply and contemplates Hashem's greatness. Va'al p'chisuso shel ha'adam, and a person realizes how man is nothing compared to Hashem. He recognizes Hashem's greatness and his own inferiority, and because of that, he subjects himself to Hashem's will. That's yiras haramus. He doesn't want to do any aveiros, not because he's afraid of the patch, but because he acknowledges that Hashem is infinitely greater than him, and because of that, he understands that the right thing is to do Hashem's will. Kol eilu dvarim mitoldas haseichel hameivin umaskil. The Ramchal says, yiras haramus is something which comes as a result of a person being a bal seichel hameivin umaskil, who understands and is thinking, who's thinking. So, Rav Kook has already spoken about the uniqueness of our generation of hador, that it's a generation that's thinking. It's a generation that's thinking and is trying to find itself and think. And he says, Dorke is a lui chalosh of miyira. A generation like this, yira sa'oinish is not going to do it. Avam oid mukshu losh of me'ahava. She yira sa'rangmus tischabra, you know. But the generation is very, very ready and prepared to do tshuva me'ahava. Tshuva me'ahava brings to yira sa'rangmus. It brings to yira sa'rangmus when a person and thinks about God and understands more about Elokus, that he comes to love Hashem, and through that love he doesn't want to do anything against Hashem's will. He comes to yiras haramus. The old Mahalach was generally working with yiras einish. That was the form of education, the way of teaching, the way of disciplining was with yiras einish. That's how it was in most families. That's how it was in teaching about Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yiras haramus. Yiras ha'einish. So he says, "B'poel." Rav Kook says in Mitzias. Now, after all of this talk about the generation, Rav Kook says that "B'poel od lo hosi shum dover l'maaseyim." The Rein Hanira. He says, "L'maisa, our generation hasn't really done anything. B'poel hasn't really done anything yet about their relationship with Hashem." The Rein Hanira, this noisy, turbulent generation, hasn't really done anything yet. None of this that I'm talking about has actually been brought out yet, Lamaisa, in any large scale. It hasn't happened. He says, Doreinu Hanirash, our generation, it's very turbulent. Aval Bekoach, the potential, Yeshlo Rav. Tremendous, tremendous potential. Aval Bekoach, Yeshlo Rav. Tremendous. Dor Kazeh, a generation like this. Hayod Se Lahoreg, that consists of many, many Jews who are willing to go out and to die. Many people. Stop. Hayotze lahareg ba'oz nefesh. Ba'oz, with tremendous courage. Bishvil mataros shehinis govus lefideo. For causes and for ideals that are great and exalted according to their opinion. People are willing to give up their lives. At that time, the Rav Kook was socialism and communism and to fight for your country. There are people who are willing to be mice and nefesh, who are willing to give their lives for what? For b'shul mataris shehin nisgavus lefideya, b'shul mataris for objectives and for goals that were nisgavus that were great lefideya, according to their opinion. Could be that this, of course, they're not. Most of these ideals are not nisgavus. But the main point is that it's a generation that's prepared to give up their lives. People are ready to die for what they believe in. They're ready to die. So he says, Dor kaze, hayotze laharik ba'oz nefesh b'shvil matarish in his goals the fideo. The chelik roshem mimenu, rak mitzad regesh hayosher, hatzedek v'hamad v'shebekirbo. And a significant part of this new generation, just because of this great feeling of Yosher, of Yashrus and Tzedek, to die for what they believe is a just cause, to fight for because of idealism. Regesh HaYosher HaTzedek VaHamada, and because of for progress and for whatever it is, Mada means knowledge or science, should be kirbo, for the person, these goals, these ideals, these objectives, that people are prepared to give up their lives for, to fight for. Dor kazeh, a generation like this, lo yuchal lios shofel. A generation like this cannot appeal to a generation like this in a way of shiflus. That's in a way shofel means a way that's low. Dor kazeh lo yuchal lios shofel cannot be shofel. People are looking for something greater. People are latching on to all different kinds of causes to find meaning in their lives. And Dorkas Aliyuchalio Shofel, this generation is not gonna resonate with the generation to say that if you don't do this you're gonna get beaten up, you know, in some world after this world. It's not gonna work. That which worked for the most part until now is not gonna work anymore. Because there's a certain shiftless for the US Zionists. There's a shiftless. When a person has to be intimidated and he has to be frightened in order to behave, that's a shiftless. And it's the way of an Eved, and the moment that pachad is gone, so the Gemara says that Avda b'hefkeirin eichelei, that an Eved prefers hefkeiris. He'll behave as long as you're standing over him and you're going to hit him. But he says, Dor kazeh, the generation that we're in is not a generation of avadim, it's no longer a generation of shiftless, and therefore Dor kazeh lo yuchal lios shofel. He can be very shuffle in terms of taivis and all kinds of disgusting desires and things like that. The Yitzhar, he says, in shuffle in terms of the ideals, in terms of the way of looking at life. Even if their goals and their ideals and their objectives are altogether wrong, they're altogether mistaken. The point is not what they believe, and the point is that they believe. And they have strong beliefs. They're willing to give their lives to their beliefs, not what they believe in. What they believe in is mostly Nagashka that they believe in. They believe in all kinds of crazy things, all kinds of silly things. That's not the point, Rav Kook says. Afilu ha-mataros hen legami mutos. Even if the ideals and their goals are altogether mutos, are altogether wrong, that's not the point. The point is that it's not a dor shofel. The generation has outgrown that way of shiftless. When the Rambam speaks about how children have to be disciplined with pachad, with an einish, with fear, nowadays even with children, it's even from a very young age, that doesn't work anymore. Pachad and einish, it doesn't work anymore. So even if the mataris and legamrei mutais, even if they're altogether wrong, even if they're altogether mistaken, but there's a godless aruach. There's a godless eruach. There's something great in the spirit of the generation. Of a rucha hunizgav, page 27. Rucha, the ruach of the generation. Rucha, the spirit, the ruach of the generation. Hunizgav gadol va'adir, is exalted, is great, is powerful. tremendous ruach of the generation, a great, great ruach that the generation has. The dor bal ruach godol, and the generation with such a great ruach, such a tremendous ruach, the dor bal ruach godol chofetz umuchrach lachpeitz, wants and must want, b'chol mokum shehu pineh, wherever it turns, l'shmor devarim gedolim, wants to hear devarim gedolim, big things, wants to hear big things, l'shmor devarim gedolim, a generation of greatness wants and must want. By nature, b'chol mokum shehu pineh, wherever it turns, it can't just be when politically it has these big ideas of equality and free rights and all of that. And then when it comes to religion, okay, just put your finger in the Gemara and be quiet, or else you're going to go to Gehenna. It's not going to work. There's a different way of thinking. When you're dealing with already a generation, it's bal ruach godol, the great ruach. B'chol mokum shehu pineh, in everything it wants godless. B'chol mokum shehu pineh, l'shmor devarim gedolim, wants to hear big things, meaningful things, big things. It's looking for godless. The generation is looking for godless. B'chol mokum shehu pineh, l'shmor devarim gedolim, wants to hear devarim gedolim. V'ikar hagedula shel hadvarim, and the ikar, and the main greatness, ikar hagedula, hagedula shel hadvarim, hu shehem mesuyamim umivororim, in godlom, rochbam, vehekefam. What does it mean to hear dvarim gedolim? So Rav Kook says, the ikar gadlus that they're looking for, and what they're hearing, what they're learning, what they're reading, shehem mesuyam umivororim, things that are clear, that are clear, mivarom, that the lashon is clear, the svaras are clear, clear language, clear svaras, the logic is clear, in godlam, broad and great, rochbam, vehekefam, and all of the rochav, and all of the expansiveness, and the breath, and the whole hekif. In other words, Rav Kook is saying, it's not enough just that teichen is great. But you could read something where the idea, there's an essay that's written, and the idea, the teichen, the subject matter is very, very great. But the signal, the style is not. The style is, it's unclear. It's the style is unclear. Or it could be that it's written in a way that's immature. It's unclear. It's written in a way that's simplistic or that's immature. And since Rav Kook says that the generation is a generation that was raised on sophistication, sophisticated scientific ideas, philosophical ideas, and so on, because of that sophistication, because of that behirus that the generation is looking for when it comes to understanding the world, understanding reality, so they're looking for the same sophistication when it comes to understanding religion. When it comes to understanding religion, you have a lot. There's this whole form of literature that started probably 25, 30 years ago of having like frum novels. You know what I'm talking about? These frum novels. Like, Though I Walk in the Shadows. You know, that stuff. With a picture of a girl looking out over a bridge. You know this? Though I Walk in the Shadows. Stuff like that. So this whole form of literature, novels that started coming out was to fill a desperate need for, on the part of young people, to have what to read. And the parents of the generation was starting to get much firmer than the old generation. The old generation, we all grew up in the library and we just read, Les Miserables, whatever. But the new generation was too firm for all of that. So everybody's looking for a type of literature that's going to be acceptable and so on. It's an understandable thing. It's a good thing. It's about some type. The thing that there's a tremendous amount of confusion and torment, a lot of the old things, and people looking for good things for their children. It's understandable. The problem was that there weren't the kind of writers around until Balachuva started writing. There weren't the kind of writers around to satisfy this need. So the kind of stuff that was coming out was for morons. It was just for morons. It was just for morons. Plain and plush, it was written on a level for morons by people who if they ever got above a 65, it's because they were related to the principal. And the quality of the writing, even though ideas, okay, for children, but the quality of the writing was embarrassing and it's ridiculous. And it wasn't only, it's not only the novels, a lot of these are from books on Yiddishkeit and Torah that are written on a level that's for 10-year-olds and being sold as true Torah literature. And any child that's a little bit of a Baal Seichel can't be sorry of all these things after a short time becomes so that they're all exactly the same and everything that they can't be sorry for it. And this is a tremendous vacuum that hasn't been properly filled yet, although there are some wonderful people. There are really only a handful of people who are qualified to write these books. They use a lot of different names. I happen to know most of them. They use a lot of different names. So it should look like there are 20, 30 writers. And whenever you see a man's name, it's most likely not him, it's his wife. That's usually the situation, but they don't want that. That also might not be firm enough, so it has to have a man's name. And there's a handful of talented writers who were serious writers before they became Baalei Teshuva and are trying to help with this inyan. And it's the same chevra, it's just they use a lot of pen names. So you get the impression like there's a whole like literary school out there. There's no literary school. It's a couple of housewives in Hainof and in Beit Magan. That's pretty much what it consists of. There are people who can write with more sophistication and they have an understanding a little bit of on a more sophisticated level of human nature. It's not just a matter of the tochen. Again, not to say that the people who had ideas before are not bright people, but this it's not just that Rav Kook is explaining. It has to be written in such a way even the style, even the signon. It's not just the content. The generation is more sophisticated than in the past, and the kind of reading that took place in earlier times is not what the young people are looking for in our generation. And since there's much more of an attitude to technology and to science, they're looking for more clarity and more sophistication. And since there's been tremendous amount of exposure b'yoydim u'b'lo yoydim by their parents, there's been an exposure to goyisha drama, Geisha theater, and Geisha television, and things on the computer. So then if the frum stuff is going to be simplistic, same thing when it comes to the music. So there's only so long that you can go on with the silly music. You know, it doesn't appeal to those who are Baalei Seichel. It doesn't appeal to them. It doesn't work for them. If they're hearing music with the and the lyrics of the songs that they've been raised on, the lyrics are sophisticated and they're poetic, and then you subject them to the Ben Bagbag stuff. So then, you know, I'm talking about the shiny shoe music, all of that. So then it's such a disconnect that so then everybody's wondering why they're looking for the Geisha music. Why they're looking for the Geisha music? Can I look for looking for the Geisha music? This is because of when we were growing up, and there were lyrics from Simon and Garfunkel, or there were lyrics from Dylan, or there were other writers that had sophisticated way of thinking, and there were people that knew the koach of poetry and of prose, and then all of a sudden then the Jewish music is so simplistic and immature and silly. The site, both mitzad the musical arrangements that are infantile music arrangements, and then mitzad the lyrics. So what most of these people have to do, the music is, since they're not capable to write lyrics, they just took psukim from Tanakh and they butchered them and massacred psukim from Tanakh, and the sounds, the music has nothing to do with the pasuk. So you can take, now then they ran out of the psukim because they only know some psukim from davening. Because they're nice, they daven, so they know some psukim from davening. So then they didn't know what to do, so that's why they had to go to Ben Bagbag, yeah? Because then they know a little Pirkei Avos too. They don't know Gemara, but they know Pirkei Avos. So they have, I don't know if they're going to go to the more sophisticated music, is going to go to the Ketzais or the Nesivos. I don't know. They're going to take sentences from the Sfas Emes and make it into song. So So, because they don't have their own ideas. They don't have ideas. So what they do is they get some Gaishan sound. Also, there are three or four people that make up all these songs, which they're all the same songs essentially, and these noisy songs. And then someone gives them the song, and it's put to something in Tanakh or something. You know, so it takes some plus. It has no connection to the music. It takes some, you know. You could have Yisku and they're singing to a fast nigga, you understand? You could have Kel Mully Rachman, Mully Mully Rachman, Kel Mully Rachman, Kel. There's nobody cares because they're listening like from the jungle the same way by the Goyim, so they're listening. Jews are already never formed to such as that they're listening to Jewish music. It doesn't make a difference. Kel Mully Rachman is. It doesn't make a difference. You could say Graces for Lakim. You can say Laini call yourselves. No nafki matter what the words are. So Rav Kook says this is not going to work. It's not going to work. To bring teshuva, to make noise, to make music, and to play at weddings. Everybody should run around in circles without having to sing on their own. You can make a lot of noise. That's okay. But in terms of the tshuva, to return to the Bayi Olam, so he says a generation is not enough. Iker Hagdula Shel Advar Mushayum Siyom Umvararim Im Gadlam Rachvam VeHakeifam. That's what we learned in our Sotah that Rav Kook wanted, and how Torah would be taught, and how Gemara would be taught, and how Halacha would be taught. Clear. In other words, when you're learning a sugya in the Gemara, that's how Rav Kook's the Gemara that he began to put out with the maskonis lahalacha, clear. What do you come out from this Gemara? What do you come out from this sugya? Because the generation again is being raised with clarity in their secular studies. In early generations, Jews were never exposed to that, so everything can be fuzzy and unclear, and that's not going to work anymore. And not only that. A lot of the writing at the time of Rav Kook, a lot of the writing was writing a whole school of writing of Bikaret. Bikaret means, Bikaris is critiquing. It's to critique thought and books, articles, essays. In other words, the new generation was beginning to look at things with a critical eye. Not just to say, yeah, you know, just to take it. Began to analyze. That was something that in the 19th century, we're talking about post-Reformation Haskalah, they began to have more of a critical eye, to look at something critically. Until that time, it was b'chlal not. Not to look at the Bible critically, not to look at anything critically, it just does. So now, there's more of a critical eye, and in the past, that was not the case. So, therefore, there needs to be more clarity. It needs to be written in a shorter way, in a clearer way. That's what Rav Kook is talking about. Actually, misuyamim uvurorim, misuyamim uvurorim. Im gadlam rochbam ha'keifam. All of the broadness of these subjects, the svaras have to be clear. That's what we see in learning. In the past, it wasn't like that. Even before, you know, it wasn't Reb Chaim, and like we spoke of this many times in our Sefer, Reb Chaim and Reb Shimon Shkop, and in Poland it was Davening Nezer and the Rogachev and so on. So they began to teach a way of they began to teach Torah in a way where it's where the Torah was itself being presented. Anybody looks now, if you go to the Sfarim store and let's say a new Sefer comes out. On Masechet Kedushin. A sefer came out in Masechet Kedushin, the Talmud Chacham, from Eretz Yisrael. Usually, that's where most of the Sfarim are coming from. There are some here, but mostly from Eretz Yisrael. A sefer comes out in Kedushin. Anybody who's in this business of Sfarim and of learning the Masechet knows that 95% of the Sfarim that come out now, on a Masechet, like let's say Yivayin Kedushin, is it going to be written daf by the daf, or is it going to be written according to Inyanim? According to Inyanim, according to the Daf? Not the Daf. 95% plus is Inyanim. Not the Daf. What does that mean? The old way of Sfarim, any old Sefer, any Sefer you look in on Kedushin, before 1980, I would say. Any Sefer on Kedushin before 1980, maybe one or two exceptions, almost any Sefer before 1980 you look in Kedushin, it'll just go by the order of the Gemara. Dav Beis, Dav Gimel, and it'll go and it'll say in the Sefer, Rashi Dibur Maschal this. It'll have the beginning of the Gemara, the beginning of Tosis, right? Tosis, and it'll have a shtiklach on that Tosis, or that shtiklach on that Rashi, and that Gemara. That's gone. Most of the Sfarim are not written in that way. The way most of the Sfarim are written now is you buy on Maseches Kedushin, you open it up, and the Mechavu, you look at the table of contents, and there'll be 50 simonim. Geder, Hageder, the Geder of Kenyan Chuppah. Geder of Kenyan Kedushin. The Geder. Geder means, I mean, I translate to English Geder. No, not the here it doesn't mean boundary. Huh? In English, the word for Geder, I don't know. But the definition, right? To define the matter of Kedushin. To define the matter of Milvah B'Shtar. To define the matter. To define the Inyan. It's interesting. All of the old Svarim are written just Daf. Daf by Daf, and you try to make your way through it. You are not blot, and you try to make your way. All the new Svarim are they're trying to write the new Svarim in such a way. This sugya, and it'll have, that's the name of the, that's the together this inyan, and it'll have, then it'll have subtitles, right? Aleph, Beis, Gimel, to analyze, to dissect according to the sugya, according to the inyan, so that when the person finishes that siman in the sefer, he feels that he has at least been introduced to the concept, not just to be mefalfel in this sentence and that sentence of what it says in the Gemara, and there's not what the Gemara, and this, it means, it does mean this, it means that, or perhaps you could say this chiddush as opposed to that chiddush. And what they're doing now is they're taking even the old svarim and they're trying to redo them and divide them into chapters. They're doing it with the old svarim now also. They're trying to give subtitles and headings and things that are written a little bit on the side, like in the, all of this is copying Gaisha books. All of this is kind of, there were never Svarim written like that in the past. Never. All of the Svarim that come out now are written this way. All of the Svarim that are written this way. There are exceptions here and there, but for the most part, the vast majority of Svarim are coming written now much more scientifically. Well, I don't mean the subject matter is scientific, it's Torah. But the way that the way it's presented, Begeder inyan this, Kuntris beinyan this. Old Svarim never had that. It was just, open it up, good luck. You just have to dive in. They're much harder. And you have to be quite a Talmud Chacham to be able to get out from what you were learning, the Geder HaInyan. The Inyan. The Geder HaInyan. But now, I mean, I'm saying, the Milas Nechesvainas, but this is the Metzias. The Metzias is that the generation, even without admitting it, even the generation of those who were never exposed to anything secular, that's just the ruach that's in the world now, is there's a tremendous need for clarity. For clarity. All of the Svarim are coming in. One of the most forward-thinking Chassidish Rebbes in the world right now is the Belzer Rebbe Zolderson Zayn. He's a very forward-thinking person. He has very modern sensibilities. And he's accomplished a great deal. He's built a whole Malchus in the Chassidus. So he is pushing. So now he's pushing the Chassidim to put together Svarim and Chassidus. How Chassidus Svarim was written? On the Parsha, right? So you're learning on the Parsha. That's how they were taught. The Rebbes were saying things by Shalshudas or Shabbos. They were saying things. And the Chassidim were transcribing, or some of the Rebbes wrote themselves. But it was always on the Parsha. Now, whenever you read all, when you read all these Svarim, so that doesn't mean that you come out again with the clarity of what's the gather of Yiras Shemayim al Pidar Chabal Sham. I don't know. I saw this in Kedushas Levi. I saw in Parshas Bahar in the Ovi Yisrael. I saw in the Naim Melech in Parshas Kiseitzei something about Yiras Shemayim and try. So the Belzer Rebbe now, they started from Belzer to come out with these Svarim Mesilos, the Chassidus, I remember it's called, I have a few of them, where the Belzer Rebbe is saying that the guys just don't get it. There's a Derech HaBalsham, and the new generation then we're not picking this up by looking in the Kedushas Levi here in the Neiman HaMelech there. They have to look in the Kedushas Levi. They have to look in the Neiman HaMelech. But it has to be in such a way where there are mafkeichas, there are indices that are in the table of contents. And these Svarim are saying, the Inyan Yiras Hashem al pi Hasidus. And then it will bring down Kedushas Levi, a piece from here. And then there'll be a few sentences in between to explain what the Baditcher is saying. Then there'll be a piece in the Tanya to explain this is what the Tanya is talking about. Everything is becoming more mivurar misuyam, clear. The style of writing and to explain. This is what the Chavos HaTalmidim was all about. What was about the possessiveness? The Chavos HaTalmidim came out and mamashuk the whole Chassidish Ravel. Now, even non-Chassidim are learning Chavos HaTalmidim. It's all over. But when the possessiveness, when that Sefer came out, the Chavos HaTalmidim, it shook the entire Chassidish Ravel. Because it was the first time since Tanya, it was the first time that a big rabbi came out and he said, not on the parasha, not Torahs, he said, Torahs HaChassidus. And he explained, what does it mean, the inyan of, what does it mean, the inyan of Simcha, B'derech HaChassidus? What's the inyan of Yira, B'derech HaChassidus? What's Shabbos in HaChassidus? Not that you have to try to figure out, because you spent your whole life and trying to remember Shtiklach about Shabbos and this Sefer, about this Sefer, from that Sefer, and try to figure it out and put it together. The whole style of the Chavos HaTalmidim is very, very modern. It was very unusual at the time, the Chavos HaTalmidim. Everybody was talking, it became the biggest thing in Poland, the Chavos HaTalmidim, just like the Tanya shook up the whole world. Who wrote a sefer like Tanya? Until the Alter wrote the Tanya. There was nothing like Tanya. There was nothing like the Tanya. And in the non-Chassidish Shevelt, and the Misnagdish Shevelt, Reb Chaim Volozhin is at the side of the Chavos HaTalmidim. Reb Chaim Volozhin wrote what? Nefesh Chaim. Volozhin Nefesh Chaim is also revolutionary. Revolutionary. The Pavlos wrote a sefer explaining Avodas Hashem in that Mahalach from the base Medrash of the Gra. Clear. Not that you have to figure out from the Gemaras and to figure out from the Musa Svarim. Clear. This is something that it was all beginning at the same time. When in the non-Jewish world, in the Goyisha world, the Haskalah, the enlightenment, and modernization back was settling in. So our boys and girls were beginning to look for something to understand in a clear way. It should be clear. It should be presented in clear, sophisticated. It's not just a matter of the token. The token is all there. It's the style of writing. And don't think that, by the way, that the Belzer Rebbe hasn't been attacked by a lot of the Belzer Rebbe. The Belzer Rebbe has been under attack for many, many years already, because the old school in Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak are very upset that they feel that this is different from the old style Chassidus. He's different, and that he's given into using Svarim that are written in more modern Hebrew. When he started in Belz, and I'm no Belzer Chassid, you come from Munkach. There's no, I don't know if you know about that. There's bad blood between Munkach and Belz for a long time, but. When they came out with the Belza newspaper, Machna Haredi, that newspaper, whoa, what they got from other Hasidim, because it was written in journalism in Hebrew, not in Yiddish, and in more of a modern Hebrew, it's tremendous. Now already it's already like accepted. Now they already have English in the Machna Haredi for people who are who are looking at Bali Shul that don't read, but. It's a very, very forward way of thinking, and he's ahead of the time. Of course, Lubavitcher was ahead of everybody with all of these things, and to present the ideas of Torah and of Chassidus in a clear, sophisticated way, written in a modern way that would appeal to young people of the new generation. This is what Kook is talking about. To us, it seems very, very obvious. Just everybody here who's been learning Torah Baruch Hashem over the years knows that the Mishnah is Kahati Mishnah, right? Kahati Mishnah. So when I was that started coming out more when I was in high school, a little bit after high school started to become popular. I actually bought them from Kahati in Yerushalayim. I went to his apartment I think it was in Givat Mordechai, if I'm not mistaken. I went to the apartment, his wife answered the door, and I said, Bati luknot kahati. So she said, Motek, ata lo yechol luknot kahati, zeh habal shelik. His name was Pinchas Kahati. She says, Mishnayot Mevu'arot, she said. Not Kahati. Ani Batlik, not Kahati. He's not for sale, she said. He's not for sale. But Kahati Mishnayos. That was a revolutionary thing. Now all the young people take for granted, of course, Kahati Mishnayos. There's already a generation with art school and all these things. Kahati Mishnayos. That you're able to actually sit down and to open up the Mishnayos, and you have it with a little bit of a heading, an introduction to the Mishnah, what this Mishnah is about. Let's say you need some background information, right? Because you're not going to be able to figure out the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is talking about you need to know something from Zoraim, from Taharis. In order to come to this Mishnah, you need a little bit of introduction. So Rav Kahati. Rav Kahati was not a Rosh Hashiva, he was not a Rebbe, he was a banker. He worked in a bank, a teller in a bank. So he gives an introduction. An introduction. And then at the end of a few Mishnayos, there'll be a review. All of this. Now, we're living in a time where they're coming out Likutei Maharan, which is Mavu'ah. Likutei Maharan, Chassidus Mavu'ah Eretz. It's all part of what Rav Kook is talking about. Mishnayos of Kahati. But that was, that even a person that's not a Talmud Chacham can sit down and to really, really understand the Mishnah. To really understand the Mishnah, to go through the whole Parish of Bar-Peh in such a way, to learn Mishnayos in such a way. They never dreamt of such a thing. I'm not talking about 100 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. Never dreamt of such a thing. But that's exactly what Rav Kook was seeing. He saw all of this, and he understood that this is what the generation must have. The generation is looking for godless. And wherever b'chol makom shehu pein l'shmar devarim gedolim, devarim gedolim is not only, Rav Kook is saying, is not only a godless in terms of the material, it means a godless in how it's presented, a sophistication, a clarity of how it's presented. It's also godless. Hamataras hayoseh pnimios. Hamataras hayoseh pnimios. The objectives, the goals, the lessons that are Yosef Pnimios, that are the deepest Yosef Pnimios. Shashashera Shokola Chaim Hamusarim Hadatiim Halumim. They were looking to understand, generation wants to understand Hamataras Yosef Pnimios. The deeper meaning of life and the purpose of being in this world, which the chain, Shasheres is a chain of all life of Musa, of religion, of what the nation is, of what the Jewish people is. What is Am Yisrael? What's Am Yisrael? Is bound to all of this. Tiena mivvoraros lefonav should be what the generation wants. Should be mivvoraros lefonav. Should be clear. Ad kama sheyochel l'shayer, until it's possible, as much as possible, should be clear. What's the tachlis? All of these mataras apnimis have to be clarified and written and explained and taught in a clear way, not to just throw the Torah at the children to say, figure it out. To clarify, to categorize. Why did Rav Kook want the whole thing of the Encyclopedia Talmudis? What's the Encyclopedia Talmudis? We spoke about it when we learned Darius Torah. What's the Encyclopedia? The Encyclopedia Talmudis is an amazing, amazing thing, the Encyclopedia Talmudis. So a person wants to look up the meaning of Beis HaKnesses, or the Shul, or what's the meaning of Shul and Halacha. So it's not in the past that it was to try to look into to find where is this Gemara, where is that Gemara, and to try to understand, you know, where is it in the Torah, where is it in Shulchan Aruch, who talks about it, which region. So Rav Kook wanted, and that was that project eventually was not during his lifetime, that really Rav Zevin was the one who put it into the Mitzvahs, but to have an encyclopedia Talmudis where everybody could open up the encyclopedia and he looks on the Beis HaKnesses, where it's in alphabetical order, and then it's divided according to Inyanim, in the Inyan of Beis HaKnesses, clear with footnotes, Mar Makaymus, and to look up and to be able to walk away spending an hour to reading those pages of Basic Knesset, and to be introduced in a very, very clear way, in a very broad, broad, clear way to the Inyan of Basic Knesset, according to the Talmud. There's never such a thing. What's a Basic Knesset? How does a person, back in, you know, you're a Jew that's living in 1875 someplace, you know, in Warsaw. What's the Inyan of Basic Knesset? So you ask some of this in Adam Gadol. So what do you do? He'll tell you, look at this Gemara, that Gemara. You know, it looks like the Rabbi Chava is eyeing this. Look here, look there, go here, go this, go that. And they try to look up this Gemara, that Gemara. But here we have the Encyclopedia of Muz, which is put together by a whole vat of tremendous Talmidei Chachamim. You see the names of the people who have written, you know, for Encyclopedia of Muz, this huge Talmidei Chachamim, who are sitting there. On the way up to Bayit Vegan, there's a whole machon, and they're sitting over there, putting in a full day, preparing articles. Clear. What's the meaning of Beis HaKnesses in halacha? What's Beis HaKnesses in halacha? That you can look up any topic in Torah. And you could get an understanding, a broad understanding. Of course, the tachlis is that we'll go into the sugya to learn it deeply. You don't sit around learning in Chavusa your whole life in Sagar B'Tamuz. It's a reference book, but it's unbelievable to help a person put things together, to get an understanding of things. But there was never such a thing in the past. It's all new. And this is all Rav Kook's dream of how Torah is going to need to be taught in the future, which is now. And it's all materializing before our eyes. And even those who are the biggest misnagdim to any changes and to any progress, it's happening everywhere. That's the joke I was saying before about the Belzer Rebbe. There are others that are against the Belzer Rebbe. If you look at the things that they're putting out, they're also putting out things now. It's the same. It's always like that. Those who are against Rav Kook, they're imitating Rav Kook. Those who are against Lubavitch, all imitating Lubavitch. Those who are against the Belzer Rebbe, they're imitating the Belzer Rebbe. It's always like that. Yeah.
This part of the Diabetra generation, they can go to a computer and put anything and find it. Wasn't there something in the old days to go pull out those phones and sit down and find them? And
yes, 100% Joe, but forget it. It's profound. It's very nice. I also have a deep romantic nostalgia for what it was like. That's just not the reality. It's just not the reality.
I mean, this is the generation.
That's what's happening. Why are they looking everywhere for the lumbus of Reb Chaim? What's Reb Chaim? Again, because Reb Chaim says, clear, to dinim, to clarify. They're looking for that everywhere. But the Sfaradim and the Chassidim, it's not just by the Lubavitch yeshivas.
So we need to be able to find that quickly today, instead of searching.
You're talking about the whole Google thing.
Even the encyclopedia thing. In the old days, you would look for the... I mean, going to the... Rabbi always speaks about going to the library in the old days. You'd go with your father, you'd look for the book.
Yes, and when I give these talks at the Shabbos table, they're all rolling their eyes, and they're all saying, forget it, drop it already, Daddy, you know what I mean? Just, drop it. Why should I go to the library? You know? Yeah, I went to Jamaica Library, I got mugged over there. I did. I got beaten up between two rows of books. It's okay, so... Yeah, there's something, it's fantastic, but this isn't it's just not happening. Of course, the shallowness of the Googling thing is ridiculous. I mean, it's very, very extreme. But to be able to, yeah, so now you get the Sefer Kiddushin, and you have this Talmud Chacham. He spent years putting it together for you, and then you look together in Yin, and you look in the Sefer, and because the Lashma, the Lashem Shemayim is, it's terrible that it's missing. I'm not saying when you use the word b'de'avad l'chadchila, it's the mitzias. Rav Kook is not talking about it. He says, what we have to talk about l'chadchila, it's the mitzias. It's where we are. Modernization has taken place. And we use it to raise children that are b'nei Torah, or we're going to keep on screaming and yelling and so on. Now, to what extent, you know, do we submit ourselves to modernization? This is a huge problem, you know. How far do you go with that? You know. So I hope that even, you know, we should all be healthy about 10 years from now, and they're still going to be yelling about people davening from their telephones. There's a certain gather of kedusha that we're losing connection to because of modernization and technology. But I would never say that about the Encyclopedia Talmudis. But if I would see that there's a yeshiva that they don't learn Gemara, and they learn Encyclopedia Talmudis, as we have a seder. From 9 till 12 in Sagar B'Tamuz, I would say, how do you mind? That's not how you learn. That's not how you learn. You don't learn like that. Mm-hmm. That's to help you understand, to put things together, but that's not the way a Jew has to. There has to be a melech b'Torah. But who knows what's going to be 10 years from now? Who knows what the Baruch Shalom Halavayit should really be? Holiness seems like it's winding down. It should be Mashiach. But what's going to be from now, a few years from now, with the way of learning and all of these things? And what's going to be? They would never have imagined these things in the past. You know, when I was growing up, so when I was in high school, so the Rebbe just said, take out the Chayodim and read. Mm-hmm. See, he didn't even explain them. That's how he used to start every day. Every day began. He was a big Talmud Chacham. And we all had these old Chayodim from the Hebrew Publishing Company, you know, with the pages that shine. And we opened the Chayodim and read. And then somebody would read. And every now and then he would correct the word, or he'd say, you don't know how to read. Like that, something like that. And then you'd finish the sif. And then sometimes the Rebbe would say, make some sort of a comment that we had no idea what he was talking about, because he was Talmud Chacham, and he'd say, it's a Zlucha Machloikis, a Chazm, Magen Avram, it's Machloikis, and we all went, and then he'd say, no, read. That's exactly how we had Chayav. Every morning, we had for 15, 20 minutes, we had Chayav. That's the first thing in the morning after breakfast was Chayav. Read. He read. Never explained to us what it meant. I had no idea what it meant. There was no English Chayav. He didn't explain it. We didn't know what it was. Mesir Hashem also. We had Mesir Hashem at the end of, after Gemara, was Mesir Hashem 15 minutes. Read. Somebody read. Mesir Hashem. No, we didn't have any English. It was read. English came out of Mesir Hashem. But we didn't get any tests on it, so nobody read what it meant. And he would read. Oh, same thing. He would correct the word to say, you don't know how to read. And then that was lunch. And we had no idea what he was talking about, the Mr. Sharm. He never explained anything. In the Gemara, when we learned the Gemara, there he would scream and yell to explain, and we learned halacha with Mr. Sharm, because it was just a seder and Mr. Sharm and halacha. He just told us to read. We just read it. The Chalam no understanding. The Chalam no understanding. It'd be hard for me to believe. You know, I haven't been in Misha, it'd be hard to believe that things like this are still going on. Maybe in some places that the learning is still in such a way. Just read and no one knows what they're talking about. Now it could be it's going a little bit the other way. I ask the Bar Mitzvah boys. Every time I meet a Bar Mitzvah boy, I ask him about how much time is he learning Gemara a day. whatever. And then I said, does the Rebbe call on guys to read? Or the Rebbe, he says, no. Most of the boys tell me now that they have Gemara in the morning, and the Rebbe just says, for an hour and a half, 2 hours, the Rebbe just explains. It's the other way. So I said, never calls on any of the boys to read? Most of the kids tell me now, no.
Why? Because now they won't be able to?
Boys are not reading. I don't know. By the way, it's not just with the little kids. I see this in yeshiva also. I'm saying with Bachram. Yeshiva Bachram. That most of the guys, I also, in yeshiva, I ask the guys, what's the say in the yeshiva, how's it work? Most of it's like a lecture. It stands for 2-3 hours saying the yeshiva. The yeshivas want to say some whole thing. And they don't call on the Bachram to read.
Most of the guys don't. It's a big enigma when they get there. The yeshivas all say the same thing. None of the guys know how to read.
They don't know how to read. You put up a boy to daven for the omid. Put up one of these boys to daven for the omid. Can't daven. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to say the words. They don't know how to read the Gemara. So it's going like the other way. So now it's about saying these sophisticated shirim, the gedder inyan this, to these guys, to the kids in the yeshiva, and the Rebbe is just explaining and saying the Gemara, and the boys don't, they never called on to read. When we were always reading it. Every day was another bachur would read, and then the Rebbe would explain the Gemara, and we'd talk back and forth. And now it's mostly the boys just sit there, and the Rebbe just says the Gemara. No, that's also not good. It needs to be a combination of both.
I'm told stop reading all my English books, start reading the Hebrew.
What?
I'm told by a certain Rebbe, stop reading the English, read the Hebrew. So you learn how to read. I read sophisticated-wise, understanding-wise.
Well, that's what's happening in our generation. That's why they have to come out with a lot of this from in English. This thing with the Hebrew, it's, you know, that's also part of the whole program that Rav Kook was talking about. But this is what he's saying, that to clarify, Now, Rav Kook says sometimes the matter is not going to be clarified. But he says, Mikol Makom, nevertheless, Yachbaz Limsobem Regish Vahaloch Nefesh. And Rav Kook is saying, listen, sometimes you're learning something great and you don't get all the details. You don't have it all figured out. But you still are overwhelmed by the greatness of the Inyan, and you're impressed by the beauty of the Inyan. You might not have it all figured out. And Kook says, that's okay. That's okay if you don't have it all figured out. But at least the student should feel this is something, this is godless, and they're excited by the godless. And as far as all the Pratim are concerned, so maybe they'll get it later on. Rav Kook says, "Mikomakom yachbats lumsa behem regish v'halach nefesh." At least they could feel they'll find regish feeling and a halach nefesh. They'll be able to identify with what they're hearing, with what they're learning. That it's something big, it's something great. It reaches them. It appeals to them. Even though he says, even though they don't know all the pratim yet. L'man yimse chayim bilvavo. The next page, in order to find life in the heart. Chaim Bilvavo, the Ziv Godlam Vahadaram, in the beauty, the radiance of the greatness and of the beauty of what they're learning. So not necessarily get all the details, but there's an excitement, there's a Hisiris, there's a Chiz, because they feel there's something big, there's something great. Vahadvarm Hanemuchim Vahapshutim, and then those Inyanim that are lower and more like Yiras Onesh, fear of punishment, and so on. Levadam, afa pishem lei emes v'tzedek. Yiras Onesh, fear of punishment, is also lei emes v'tzedek. By the way, all of those novels that I was making fun of before—they're also filled with emes v'tzedek. They're filled with true things. They're filled with emes v'tzedek. They're filled with truth of Torah and nice ideas, but they're written in a way that's nemuchim pshutim. Afa pishem lei emes v'tzedek lo yaspik olam. It's not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough for the generation. They're looking for godless. Not that, he says they're filled with Malay Emes Vitzadik. Malay Emes Vitzadik. But lo yaspikulo. Lo yimse behem manoach. They will not find peace. The generation cannot find menucha, cannot find manoach, cannot find peace in learning things that are just written in a way that's nemuchim and pshutim. Okay, hold on to the pages that you have. Put it inside the Maimer. We're going to do that next time. Just one second, please. We'll do that inside. Hold on to that. Mitzvah next Shabbos. I'm not going to be here. Last Motzei Shabbos, those who come to Shabbos, I said that.